Will you please turn to the book of Revelation? Revelation chapter 1, just the first three verses. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 3. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his bondmen what must shortly take place. And he signified it, sending by his angel to his bondman, John, who testified the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep the things written in it, for the time is near. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we do praise and thank Thee because Thou art faithful. Thou canst not deny Thyself. We thank Thee according to Thy promise. Thou art here with us. Lord, we want to have our eyes open. We acknowledge before Thee that we are like the blind leading the blind. Have mercy on us. Open Thy word to us. Open our hearts to Thy word, that we may receive revelation, that we may not be disobedient to the heavenly vision. Lord, do not pass us by. Come to us and touch us. In the name of our Lord Jesus. This morning, we'd like to consider together before the Lord the revelation given to John the Apostle. We know that John is one of the first who follow our Lord Jesus. One day, John the Baptist and two of his disciples were standing there, and Jesus passed by. When John the Baptist saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And immediately, these two disciples, they left John and followed Jesus. Jesus turned around and asked them, "What do you want?" And they said, "Where do you live?" The Lord said, "Come and see." So these two disciples spent that day with the Lord Jesus. And the next day, we remember, angel went to find his brother Peter, Simon. Nothing was mentioned about what John did. But I think most likely he must go and find his brother James and lead him to Jesus. So John is one of the first who followed, who came to the Lord Jesus. And we also know that he is the last of the 12 disciples who passed from the scene. He had a very long history of being with the Lord. And because of his intimate relationship with the Lord, he received much revelation. As a matter of fact, we can say that to John, it is the consummation, the summing up of all the revelations that God gives to man concerning his Son. So there in John we have the fullest revelation. Now why is it that he received the full revelation of Jesus Christ? I think the secret is here. You know, when the Lord turned back and said, "What do you want? What do you want?" They said, "Where do you live?" Now, it seems that this is a very strange answer to the question. What do you want? I want this. I want that. But no, they said, "Where do you live?" In other words, we want to be with you. We want you. And they stayed, they abode with the Lord that day. So, brothers and sisters, from the very beginning, John abides with Christ. And this abiding is the secret of the life of John. From the very first day, he makes his home in Jesus. He stayed there. He continued there. And because he abides in Christ, therefore you find he receives much revelation. Brothers and sisters, we said it is the pleasure of God to reveal his Son. And no doubt the same is true with the Son. It is his delight, his longing, his desire to reveal himself to us. He wants to give himself to us. But why is it that we do not receive revelation? Why is it that we do not see? We do not hear. Why? It is because we are far away from him. If we are near to him, if we continue with him, if we abide in him, if we make our home in him, if we are close to him, no doubt, we will receive much revelation. Our Lord is not partial. He treats all of us the same. He loves us just the same. His heart is so broad, He's able to love every one of us, just as we are the only one. And His desire towards us is the same. He wants to reveal Himself to us as full as possible. But brothers and sisters, the difference is here. Those who abide in Him, those who are close and near to Him, they receive much. And those who are like the prodigal son, wander away from Him, they do not see Him. They do not hear Him. There is no revelation. You remember John. His relationship with the Lord is so intimate, so close to the Lord, that the Bible said, He is the one whom Jesus loved. We know that the Gospel of John is written by John, not because he tells us that he wrote this gospel, but he mentioned a number of times the one whom Jesus loved. He is the one whom Jesus loved. Jesus loved everyone. Why is it is so special that He is the one whom Jesus loved? It seems as if Jesus loved Him more than the other disciples. The reason is, He is the closest to the Lord's heart. He leaned upon the bosom of the Lord. He is so near to the heart of the Lord Jesus. And that's the reason why it seems as if He is loved more than anybody else and is given more revelation than all. Love is the shortest direct way to revelation. If we love Him, if we are close, near to Him, if we make our home with Him, brothers and sisters, revelation will be given. That's the secret. The book of Revelation is the last book of the Bible. It is the consummation of all the revelations given before it. This book is called Revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the revelation that God gives to His Son. and he signifies it by sending his angels to his bondman, John. God wants to reveal his Son. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. God gave this revelation to his own Son. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ to reveal the Son, to show to his bondman. He wants his bondman to receive this revelation. This revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the desire of God. And all the bondmen, he gave first to John, the bondman of Jesus Christ. And through John to the other bondman. Again, revelation is given for a purpose. God just does not give revelation to anybody. Revelation is so sacred. It is not something yet that you just throw around. God gives revelation only to his bond slaves. If you are his bond slave, revelation is for you. Now, who is a bond slave? A bond slave is a slave of love. In the Old Testament time, you find that if a Hebrew sold himself to a brother Hebrew as a slave, by law he was bound to serve for 6 years. And on the seventh year, he must be freed. But if this bond slave, who was sold to his master, loved his master, love his master's family. So when the 6 year was over, he did not want to go out free. He was willing to serve his master for life. It is not obligated. It is not a matter of legal requirement. It is voluntary. It is spontaneous. It is an expression of love. And because he loved his master, that's the only reason. He wants to serve his master for life. Then he will be taken to the door, have his ears pierced. And with that sign, he is a bond slave. He belongs to the Master forever. Brothers and sisters, are we bond slaves of Jesus Christ? He has bought us with his own blood. He paid a price for you and for me, that nobody can pay. He bought us to himself. But he never forced us to serve him. According to law, we are bought. We belong to him. We have no right of our own. No life of our own to live. No work of our own to do. We are to be in his house. Live for him. Work for him. Serve him. That is law. But our Lord never treats us according to law. He will say to us, do you want to go too? If you want to go out, you may. It is only when we are constrained by the love of Christ. It is only when we are persuaded by the mercies of God, we voluntarily said, we love you. We do not want to go out free. We are your slaves. Brothers and sisters, it is to the bond slaves that the revelation of Jesus Christ is given. John is a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Love hiding to Jesus. Love bound him to Jesus. And because of this, this revelation was given to him. And not only to him, but to all the bondmen of Jesus Christ. Dear brothers and sisters, why is it you do not see? Why is it that the revelation of Jesus Christ does not consume you? Is it because your relationship with the Lord is a legal relationship? Yes, you are saved. Therefore, you have to do this. You have to do that. You go through the motion. It is not from the heart. It is not out of love. It is out of duty. And if that's the case, no wonder there is no revelation, no seeing who the Lord is and what he is. But if you really are consumed, constrained by the love of our Lord, and you really surrender your life, have your ear pierced, revelation is your portion. It's yours. Before we go into the book of Revelation, I feel we should say something about the Gospel of John. the Gospel of John, as our brothers already mentioned, is different from the other three Gospels. The other three synoptic Gospels, they give us the story of the Lord Jesus. John explains that story. The three Gospels tells us about the history of our Lord Jesus. But John gave us the spiritual interpretation of that history. In the Gospel of John, he tells us who Jesus really is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How did John know this? When Moses wrote Genesis, he said, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. And in 6 days, how? He restored it for man. Now how did Moses know? Evidently, this was revealed to Moses. God revealed to Moses how the heavens and the earth began. How the earth was created, made fit for man to live. By revelation. And here you find a greater revelation is given to John the Apostle. God revealed to John in the beginning, not the beginning of creation, the very beginning. God, the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The speech of God. The expression of God. The utterance of God. The revealing. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now that is Jesus. We already said many times, this is not something revealed to you by flesh and blood. This is revealed by the Father who is in heaven. John receives such tremendous revelation, going back to the very beginning, God, the beginning. And in that beginning, God, the Word, one That is the revelation. No one has seen God, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him as the Word. If you try to keep your mouth shut, no one knows what you are. But once you open your mouth, everybody knows what you are. If there is not a word, no one will know what God is. What is He like? No one knows. But here you find the Lord Jesus is the Word, the eternal Word. And this Word became flesh. Tremendous love behind it. He emptied Himself of all the glory and honor and power and majesty associated with His deity. He emptied all these and He became a man. The Word became flesh. And in that flesh, He declared to us His Father. That is the Lord Jesus. If you see Him, you see the Father. If you hear Him, you hear the Father. He and the Father are one. The Son, the only begotten Son. And this Son came to become the Lamb. In the whole gospel, I believe everyone who has ever read the gospel according to John cannot help but see. Many times the Lord said, I am. He is telling us who He is. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It tells us who He is. The great I am. As our brother already mentioned, I am everything that you need. That is our Lord Jesus. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And by believing in Him, we have eternal life. So this is the gospel according to John. John, in his gospel, reveals to us the person of our Lord Jesus. Now when you come to the last book, the book of Revelation, we find that in this book of Revelation, It reveals especially the work of our Lord Jesus. Of course, you cannot separate His person from His work, or His work from His person. Now, we cannot cover the whole book of Revelation. Now, the book of Revelation is a prophetic book. He said, "Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep the things written in them, for the time is near." It is a prophetic book. It tells us things that must shortly come to pass. And that shortly is already 19 centuries. From the end of the first century, what's going to happen in this world? Up to the end of this age. Go over the age of this age to the age to come, and cross over the age to come to eternity to come. That's prophecy. The scope of this prophecy is so tremendous. It covers everybody. It prophesied about the church. That covers all Christians. It prophesied about the Jews. It covers about the world, the nations. It covers everything. Tremendous words of prophecy. Oh, brothers and sisters, how fascinating. How attractive. We can spend our whole life digging into it. Trying to put all these prophecies into order and trying to fit every event, historical event, into its particular prophecy. My. It almost makes us prophets, but false prophets. But brothers and sisters, that is not the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is not the revelation of what happens to you, to me, to the world, to the Jews, to the Gentiles, what's going to happen in the 3rd century, in the 7th century, in the 16th century, or in the 20th century. No. The book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So if you spend your time and energy trying to figure out from this prophetic book all these events and all these things, you just touch the letter of the word. And the letter kills. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, he said, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus." That is the spirit. The letter of prophecy touches many, many future events. But the spirit of prophecy is one. It testifies to the Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, unless you see the Lord Jesus in prophecy, you miss the whole point. Now, with this in mind, then we can go into this book of Revelation. John, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus. He was exiled to the island Patmos. Before he was exiled, he was laboring in the area of Asia Minor, or the Roman province of Asia. That is the place where Paul labored much. And after Paul was martyred, John was sent by the Lord, and he labored in Asia. He was taken away and was exiled to the island of Patmos, to a labor camp. On the Lord's Day, probably he was sitting on a rock, facing Asia Minor, across the sea. We are told that if it is clear day, you can see the outline of the coastal line of Asia Minor. And evidently, John was sitting there looking at Asia Minor, the place that he labored much, but now he could not. His heart must be longing for the churches in Asia. He wondered what happened to them. They will be like sheep without a shepherd. But while he was thinking about them, he heard a voice, like a trumpet. He turned around, and he saw. He saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands was one who was like a son of man. We are told that these seven lampstands represent the seven churches in Asia. Those churches that John had labored before he was exiled. Brothers and sisters, the reality of what is on earth is in heaven. The reality of the seven churches in Asia represented before God by the seven golden lampstands. Every church, that's the little man that we mentioned before. Every church is a lampstand. It is there for a reason. Not for itself, but as a lampstand to lift up the light, which is Christ, the testimony of Jesus. The church is the vessel of the testimony of Jesus, to testify to the world, to testify to the city, to the people around, who Jesus is, what a Jesus he is. A lampstand. It is a golden lampstand. All of gold. All of God. Not of man. And this is the suitable vessel for the light. So seven lampstands there. And he saw one like a son of man standing and later walking in the midst of the seven lampstands. Brothers and sisters, who is that man? In Revelation chapter 1, we find a full description of that man. He is the King Priest who is serving in the heavenly sanctuary. These seven lampstands are in the heavenly sanctuary. The reality of things on earth. And there you find our Lord Jesus. He was risen, ascended. He is now in heaven. And there, he is the King Priest, ministering in the heavenly sanctuary. It is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah. In Zechariah chapter 6, verse 13, probably we read from verse 12. Thus speaketh Jehovah of hosts, saying, Behold, a man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up from his own place. And he shall build the temple of Jehovah. Even he shall build the temple of Jehovah, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. What our Lord Jesus was on earth, he was the apostle of our confession, according to Hebrews chapter 3. He was the apostle sent by God with a mission to do the work of redemption. The apostle of our confession. But today he is in heaven. He is the high priest of our confession. on earth. He is the sacrifice. He offered himself spotless by the eternal Spirit to God for our eternal redemption. But in heaven now, he is the high priest, the king priest. On earth, out of his side came out blood and water. Blood for the remission of our sins. Water as life, giving us new life. And with this blood and water, he built the woman, the church. That's the material. And now in heaven, he is ministering in the heavenly sanctuary to see that the church is built. Brothers and sisters, if we do not know Jesus as Savior, we are not saved. But if we do not know Jesus as High Priest, we cannot live a Christian life as a Christian. Knowing Jesus as Savior makes us a Christian. But knowing Jesus as the High Priest enables us to live Christian. Do you know Jesus as your High Priest? That's the whole book of Hebrews. Thank God. He is our High Priest, making intercession for us unceasingly. He is able to save all who approach God by Him. Save us to the uttermost. We are able to endure. We are able to persevere. It is all because he intercedes for us. Like he prayed for Peter, I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And after you are restored, strengthen your brother. Brothers and sisters, he's doing the same to every. How can I be here if it's not because he intercedes for me? We all experience something of our Lord Jesus as our High Priest, the royal priest, the king. He is all righteous. He is all compassionate, all love. He is all wise. He is all discerning. He is all judging. He is almighty. He is all powerful. He is all beautiful. This is our High Priest. We know him in a little way. But brothers and sisters, our Lord is the King Priest, ministering in the heavenly sanctuary. In other words, we often take the Lord as our high priest in a personal way. Thank God that is true. We must. We must take him as high priest in a personal way. Otherwise, we cannot live. But remember, he is the high priest serving in the heavenly sanctuary. It is a corporate matter. The seven churches in Asia to us is the real thing. But this is only a shadow. The reality is in heaven. These seven churches are seven lampstands in the sanctuary. Not made with hands. And the Lord, as the high priest, is ministering there. John, looking across the sea, thinking of the seven churches, who is taking care of them. How can they go on and be completed? In that vision, Patmos vision, the Lord is correcting him. Do not think that without you, they cannot go on. Do not think that you are the one, the only one who cares. There is one who really cares, and there is one who is ministering all the time. What a comfort that is. You may fail. But this one can never fail. Brothers and sisters, our Lord is ministering in the reality of the church. What are the conditions of the seven churches in Asia? You read chapter 2 and chapter 3. Anyone who really has a heart for God, who has a love for him and for the church, when you read the seven letters to the churches, you feel so disappointed. Only the church in Philadelphia seems to come up to the standard. But brothers and sisters, our high priest never gives up. Today he is still there ministering. Yes, you know, in Revelation chapter 1, there is a description of our King Priest. He is standing before the seven golden lampstands. As if he is saying, that's what I am. That's my revelation. And that's your testimony. That's the light that you should hold up. It's me. But when he looked at the seven churches in Asia, they do not look like him. And because of this, he has to use the golden snuffers. You know, the light is getting dim. It's smoking. It gave more darkness than light. It's dying out. The oil is depleted. And here you find the King Priest. He is diligently walking among the seven lampstands and do all the things that he needed. He will cut off the scorched. He will pour in more oil. He will purge and discipline out of love. He is calling his church to repent, to return to the revelation that he has given to them. He called us back to first love. He is not satisfied with just an outward form of godliness. He wants our love. He calls us to be faithful to the very end. Not just have a good beginning and they drop out. It's the end that counts. He calls us to be separated from the world. Because he has taken us out of the world. We are not of the world. He calls us to return to the simplicity that is of Christ. We become too complicated. He calls to life. He calls to keep the word of his patience. He calls us to accept his discipline. Do not faint. Because whom he loves, he chastises. Oh, brothers and sisters, our high priest is still ministry in the heavenly sanctuary. He will minister and minister and minister until the church becomes a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any of the sort. He will have it. May we have the ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, as our Lord, the high priest, is ministering in the heavenly sanctuary, this is what we really should be. The Holy Spirit is working on earth in our midst. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. We believe, as our high priest is ministering in the heavenly sanctuary, the Holy Spirit is speaking on earth today. We believe that He is speaking. He is working. Let us hear Him. Do not harden your heart. And if you hear Him, you become an overcomer. You become a normal Christian. We need to see the Lord Jesus as the King Priest. He is ministering to the church until the church is fully built. It's such a comfort, brothers and sisters. Therefore, do not give up. Do not give in. Trust Him. Depend on Him. Look up to Him. And let Him work out His glorious work. He reminds me of what He said in Matthew 16. I will build my church on this rock, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Well, I just begin. Well, you turn to chapter 5. Another revelation, tremendous revelation. I'll just mention. There you'll find John was taken in the spirit to heaven. And in a vision he saw one sitting on the throne, surrounded with glory. And there is a book in his hand. And an angel with a tremendous voice that can be heard all over the universe, by everybody, saying, who is worthy to take this book and to open it? And great silence. No response. Because no one is worthy. And John wept. Why? Because this is a terrible thing. This little book is the title deed of the universe. God is the owner of the universe. He has never given up his ownership. Is being usurped by the enemy. After man was deceived. But the enemy is a squatter. He is not an owner. God never gave up his ownership. It is still in God's hand. But now the time has come to claim his possession, to restore the universe to God, to bring all things to the feet of God. But who is worthy? Who is worthy to execute God's purpose? No one. No angel, no man, nothing. And John wept because he understood. He thought, well, that's the end of it. Then this world will continue on in corruption. The whole universe will be in vanity, in corruption. And there is no hope. It will be under the domination of darkness, of the evil one. Where is the hope for this world? No hope. He wept. And then he was comforted. There is one who is worthy. Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has overcome. He is worthy to take the book and to open the seal. And John saw a little lamb, newly slain, standing as a resurrection. And he took the book from the hand of the one who sits upon the throne, and then worship, praise. The whole universe is filled with worship and praise. It is done. Now, brothers and sisters, what a revelation that is. The Lord Jesus is the worthy one, the executor of the plan of God. He is the one who has defeated the enemy on the cross. Make a public show of him. He has overcome. And therefore, he is able to recover, restore all things to the fullness of God. He is able to bring the whole earth, the whole universe, back to God. That the glory of God may fill this earth as water fills the sea. Tremendous. That's the redemption of the universe. And this is our Lord. Revelation. And finally, Revelation chapter 21 and 22, you find the holy city, the New Jerusalem, the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, In chapter 1, you have a description of the one who is like the Son of Man, but no description of the golden lampstand. But here you find the description of the holy city, but no description of the bridegroom. Why? Because now the bride is one with the bridegroom, and all the beauty, the glory, the character of the bridegroom is fully reflected in that holy city. You see the bridegroom, bride, you see the bridegroom. They are now eternally one. Glory. The ministry of our Lord Jesus is completed. It is done. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, open our eyes to see thy Son, to see that he is not only our Savior, he is our High Priest, to see that he not only gave himself for his church, but he ministered to it until it becomes a glorious church, fit to be his bride. Oh, thank you. It's all mercy, it's all grace. And we know thou would do it. Thou would have it. In spite of us, Lord, how we want to give ourselves over to thee and let thee work it out. In the name of our Lord Jesus.